Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is Rick Green, and this is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Now, I want to read this testimony, but before I do, I want to finish what we were talking about yesterday about Dan Stratton. Now, Dan and Ann Stratton are in New York City, and Dan is on the exchange. And so he started his church, if I remember right, in the old exchange building in New York. Mm. He'd been teaching for weeks about how to hear the voice of God. Well, you see what the Lord was doing. Well, he saw what was happening, and so he went into town to check it out, and they knew who he was, but they weren't paying attention to him. And the Lord said, Dan, go get you a collar. Because most of those New York policemen are Catholic. A number of them are. So he did. And he walked right back into all of that mess. And they said, oh, Father Dan, would you help us, please? He didn't run from it. He ran into it. Long time partners of this ministry, he and Ann. Well, we had another partner in the Pentagon. And she's a lieutenant colonel. And she gave her testimony. She said, I just didn't feel right in my spirit. And she said, I went out in the hall, and she said, I heard the Lord say, run. So she said, I just started running.
Wow.
And she just said, I didn't know where I was running. And she said, a bunch of them saw me running, so they just ran too. And said, we actually ran out of there and were untouched at the Pentagon.
Wow.
Nobody in Dan Stratton's church were even injured.
Hmm.
One man came out of there with a white suit, a white shirt and his suit, because most of his people worked there in the towers or in that area.
Mm.
His white shirt wasn't even damaged because they knew how to hear the Spirit of God. And one of them said, he just heard the Spirit of God say, run. He just ran down the subway. Zero casualties.
Wow.
Because a man taught his people how to hear the voice of God. And I was listening to his broadcast last night. And he was talking about me and some others, but man of God. And taught his people how to hear the voice.
That reminds me of so many times in the Revolution when God would bring the wind in at the right time, the clouds in at the right time.
Well, and Rick, the British sharpshooter that tried to kill General Washington.
At Brandywine, yeah.
Yeah.
Had him in his sight. Patrick Ferguson was his name.
Five times.
He was the best in the world, too.
And finally, when the general had holes in his jacket, he said, I am not firing at that godly man again, and don't ask me to do it. Well, we had to have him. And there were situations like that in World War II, World War I. And when you think about it, General Allenby in Australia and the Light Horse Cavalry opened up Jerusalem. They wouldn't go back. Hitler was a corporal in World War I. Now, But then, and the state of Israel was the only nation that came out of World War II. Both those wars were fought about that.
You know, it reminds me, too, of even the Constitution itself was miraculous. I mean, Washington talked about how you could see the hand of God in it, Madison and others, the finger of God in it.
Yes.
You think about in the middle of the convention, people are leaving, going home, saying it's not going to work. There's too many things we disagree about. And when Ben Franklin, the least religious of all of them, got him and said, we got to call on the Father of Lights. We need God in this equation. We can't do this without God. What are we thinking? Basically, that's the way I would have said it. So what were we thinking? We got to get God in this thing, and it turned the whole thing around.
He is on one of the bills, too, by the way. When I first saw BVOV way back in the 90s, Kenneth Copeland was pretty cocky talking about what the Bible said about finances. I said to myself, the Bible doesn't say that. But I looked up the scriptures, the ones he quoted, and sure enough, it did say those things and much more. I have been a student of theirs ever since, and those lessons have gotten me through many tough times. Today, my life is radically different. I have homes, lands. I owe no man anything but the debt of love. Thank you for being obedient to the Lord, CM in Kansas. Give the Lord a prayer. Praise. Glory to God. That is so rich.
Amen.
Now, Rick, you talked about Woodrow Wilson in your book. And let me get my book out here. And there's several things I want to talk about. I want to talk about Woodrow Wilson. I want to talk about the mayor of Chicago.
Yeah.
Go ahead and talk about Woodrow Wilson.
Well, unfortunately, we have to teach the good, the bad, and the ugly. And unfortunately, there's definitely chapters in America's history that aren't good, where we had bad leaders, just like in the Old Testament and the children of Israel, right? Mm-hmm. So much of it would rise and fall with the leader. And Wilson, of course, had been a very racist, evil history teacher as well. So he would literally remove the good stuff and only teach the bad stuff. And he had this idea about the Constitution that it should be literally changing with the whims of what the...
That's what you said in here.
Yeah, as the culture changes, we need to change the Constitution. And I'm not saying the Constitution should never be changed. We've got 27 amendments to the Constitution. But it should only be changed through the amendment process, not by these unelected, unaccountable lawyers in Washington, D.C., we call the United States Supreme Court. They do not have the right under the Constitution to modify the Constitution. That is left to the states. The states are the only ones that can ratify an actual constitutional amendment. And we've allowed the court to run amok for really about 100 years now, essentially changing and molding the Constitution to what they want. I actually call it the Courtstitution. It's not the Constitution anymore. It's the Courtstitution. And it's not a good system, and we've got to change it. And I'm actually glad that the lawfare has happened. I'm glad that they've done a lot of the things they've done, because I think God's using it to wake up the American people to say, wait a minute, we're going to let one little judge at the lowest level of the federal court do an injunction that's going to overrule the president of the United States, who was elected by the entire country.
Such as the Warren Court?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, you go back to that, and they're literally saying no prayer in school, no Ten Commandments in schools, all those bad decisions from the 60s and 70s. So we just got to get back to understanding the proper balance of power, the proper jurisdictions. The court's important, but it's the weakest of the branches. Alexander Hamilton actually said, you're never going to have to worry about this, Federalist 78. He said, you never have to worry about losing your liberty because of the court. But then he said, only if the court stays in its lane. If it ever gets over here and starts making law, which is what it does now, or trying to enforce the law, he said, you'll have everything to fear. And the reason we shouldn't have to fear the court is it has, he said, neither the purse nor the sword. Congress has the purse. President's got the sword. And that's why I think it's important for presidents and Congress to start saying to the court sometimes, you got to say what Andrew Jackson said. Nice opinion. Now let me see you enforce it.
Now, Andrew Jackson was running against a man that wanted a national bank like the powers in Europe. But let me tell you what the danger of that is. In World War I, you had one national bank backing Germany, and you had the other national bank backing the United States, and they were owned by the same people. Now, that is absolutely wrong. So the man running against Andrew Jackson was running for a national bank, and he said, you'll never be elected president. Why? He said, I'll blow your brains out on the Capitol step. He said, they'll hang you. He said, I'm a soldier. I offered my life for my country before. Now, President Wilson called a forum on Christmas Eve. And we now have the Federal Reserve, which sounds like it's of the government, which it is not. And we have a board of directors that are classified. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's unfortunately they operate technically with the delegation of Congress's power. They've technically delegated it.
Yeah, but let me see you try to find out who they are.
Yeah, absolutely unaccountable.
Totally unaccountable.
It was a horrible year for us. 1913, you get the Federal Reserve. You get the 16th Amendment, which is you had an income tax that was possible under Article 1, Section 8, but it was a capitation tax, basically. Everybody was treated, the same tax, where now you got this progressive tax that became terrible. And that's the year that we stopped electing senators through our state legislatures. And if you look at the growth of the federal government, it's like a hockey stick curve. It's like this, and then 1913, and all of a sudden it goes like this. And the reason is because you no longer had the ability to rein in those U.S. senators. You know, I served in the Texas House. If I had been in the Texas House when the federal government was creating, let's just pick a department, Department of Agriculture, I would have called the U.S. senators, if we didn't have a 17th Amendment and the senators were still elected by us, the legislature, I would have called those U.S. senators and said, if you vote for that, you're out of a job. We don't need a federal Department of Education or Agriculture. We got a Texas Department of Agriculture. We certainly don't need a federal Department of Education either. That was not just a Freudian slip there. We shouldn't have a Department of Education at the federal level. We have our state education. My point is the state legislature was able to rein in the U.S. Senate and keep the feds from growing. And we talked the other day about jurisdictions. Keep the feds from getting over here into state jurisdiction. Well, 1913, with the influence of Wilson and all these other guys, you get the Fed, you get the 17th Amendment, and you get the 16th Amendment. And it starts going out of control. So we've had 100 years of that. I do believe, though, that we have a chance now to have a rebirth of freedom in America.
I do
we have
too.
A renaissance of
liberty. I really do believe that.
And to do that, we have to have civic literacy. We've got to go back and study what the Bible says about how to treat your neighbor, and how do you do that under our United States Constitution?
We had to have. It was we had to break the political chain.
Yeah.
And I'll remind you again that the embassy of the United States of America, I was there at the dedication of it, is on Donald Trump Avenue, and everyone else just kept kicking the can down the road instead of Tel Aviv.
It's one of the most important things he did in that first term.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. No doubt about it.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about it. But now, look how important that is, that he's now president again, a time that's critical in Israel's history.
And God's timing is so perfect. Can you imagine the difference if he had been president two terms in a row? He would not be the man he is right now.
That's right.
That assassination attempt made him realize...
Yes, it did.
God has called me to do this.
Yes, it did.
You mentioned Washington earlier and those horses or the bullet holes in the jacket. You know, he's 23 years old and he has these horses shot out from under him, bullet holes in a jacket. We went and researched it up in Pittsburgh at the Battle of Braddock's Road. He had a bullet hole in his hat. He had bullet fragments in his hair. Wrote to his mama the next day and said, I don't know why, but God has saved me for some purpose. Samuel Davies preached a sermon 2 weeks later and said, who knows but this young Colonel Washington is being preserved by God for something great. But I thought about it. He wrote to his brother, too. Now, he didn't tell his mama this. It's interesting the difference he told to his mom and his brother. He wrote to his brother the next day, too, and he said, bullets were flying past my head, and it sounded like music to my ears. So when Trump was shot in the ear, and he gets up and says, fight, 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 the first thing I thought of was Washington and that attitude, just that mindset, that warrior ethos, and standing for what's right, and the fact that here we got another bulletproof president. Mm. We got another man being preserved by God for an important thing. So sorry I went down that whole rabbit trail, but it made me think about that. And I think this renaissance that's coming is because when he was out for 4 years and we had so many bad policies and such a tyrannical attitude, it was sort of like a small taste of, most folks have probably seen the meme where it says, tough times make tough men make good times. Good times make soft men, and soft men lead to tough times. We've had it so good in America that we got soft, and we got a little taste of the tough times. And so now people are saying, I don't want the tough times. I want a rebirth of freedom. I want a renaissance of freedom. But they're realizing that to do that, they have to come back to these truths. They have to study the Constitution.
Yes.
They have to study the biblical foundations that
now,
led to that.
Can you imagine anyone saying that Donald Trump is a tyrant because he's trying to stop violence in the streets?
Yeah.
You have to remember about principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and wicked spirits in the heavenlies. They are the political devils. And Michael had to come in for Gabriel bringing the message to Daniel, and he talked about the spirit of Greece and the spirit of Persia, who is?
Here we are, Iran.
Iran.
Yeah.
It's the same devil. He hadn't changed any.
Yeah, what kind of deception does it take to be to the point where a president is protecting your freedom of speech, encouraging you to speak up and protest peacefully, use your constitutional rights? He's the worst tyrant ever. He's a terrible tyrant. If he was a tyrant, he'd be stopping all of that. Instead, he's encouraging people to use their freedom. You have to be deceived to think that he's actually a king. You know, here we are talking about the Constitution in the beginning of all this, and Washington could have been king, and he turned it down and walked away.
Didn't that come up? To be a king, and he just absolutely went.
Yeah, King George actually said, if that man really did retire and go home after winning the war, when he could have been king or whatever it would have been, he must be the greatest man that ever lived. And he did it twice, right? He did it after the war. He goes home. In fact, we have a big, beautiful painting. Jonathan Trumbull was the one that did those paintings in the rotunda. You've been in there many times, where the signing of the Declaration and the surrender at Yorktown of the British. But then there's that painting of George Washington resigning as general. And why would we commemorate him resigning? Mm-hmm. Because it's a humble man saying, we're not going to have a king in this country. I did my job. We won the war. I'm willing to go home. Boy, if we could get people to be servant leaders like that today, where they do their job and then they say, okay, you know, they're not staying in Congress or staying in trying to hold political power for so long. But Washington then does it again after being president, serves two terms, could have been president till he died, turns around and goes home. So we took that painting and put it in our house. I rebuilt the Texas House Chamber at our campus in Fredericksburg so that we could teach kids the legislative process.
I have to come.
You got to come see it, because I put the Washington resignation up front. Because I want those kids to know servant leadership. Yeah. This man understood servant leadership. He was the model. So anyway, I went off on a tangent again. But I think we got to get back to that attitude, that same Washington example. Another thing he said that I try to teach all the kids that come through Patriot Academy, and you know this one well, I've heard you talk about it, religion and morality are indispensable supports of political prosperity.
That's true.
He was literally saying to the nation as he's stepping off stage left, he's done. He's been president. Now he's going home. He's saying in his farewell address, if you want the nation to be successful, you better have religion and morality.
Are you enjoying the interstate highway system? You like that? You know who started it? Huh?
Eisenhower.
Yes, he did. Why? He saw the Autobahn in Europe that Hitler built. And he said, we have to have something about our highways in the United States. Because if we ever had to, for any reason, we can't move equipment in this country. So he started the interstate highway system. And that was the reason why. He had seen the Autobahn in Europe, and it was split into lanes. Well, the Autobahn is still there. And if you're driving less than 80 miles an hour, then you need to pull over and get out of the way. And
I would argue that's one of the few things the federal government's doing today that is constitutional, because there's a clause in Article 1, Section 8 that says Congress has the power to do post offices and post roads, and the interstate system today is essentially what the post roads would have been back then.
Yes.
You need to move mail, you need to get information. We need to move people. We need to, just like
Rick,
what Eisenhower was
saying. Now, come on, man. I remember when they finished it around Fort Worth. But I remember the first black and white TV I ever saw, too. and they had to move to Fort Worth to see that. So, but it stopped, really, over around Rosedale, which wasn't too far from Pauley High School when I was going to school there. And, but then it, they connected it to the East-West Freeway, and the rest of it, of course, is history. So I was privileged to see all that. Now, when you talk about President Eisenhower, this man had seen war. He was in it. He wrote an apology to the American people and wrote an apology before God if the invasion of Europe failed because the weather was bad. And he was one that picked the 6th of June, 1944, which we just celebrated. He's the one that picked it.
You know, he's also the one that helped us put Under God in the pledge.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
That's what he did. He put that in there.
He understood the difference between the, you know, the Russian idea of what government should do and the American idea, and it was the fact
that Russian Constitution demands separation of church and state. Mm-hmm. It's not in ours. But the ACLU acts like it is.
Mm-hmm. I think we're repeating a lot of what Eisenhower did. If you think about the 50s, and the rebuilding of the culture,
yes,
and him saying, we've got to bring God back into the culture. We're going to put Under God back in the play. He'd heard a sermon. A pastor preached a sermon about it, and he got excited about it and said, you've got a great idea there. And so he pushed to put Under God back in the pledge. And then he helped start this thing called Freedoms Foundation, and they started putting the Declaration and the Constitution back into schools.
He also started Air Force One.
Did he really? I didn't know that. Yeah.
It was a Lockheed Constellation.
Yeah.
And, of course, he was big on aviation. As a general, he had his own equipment. And he said, the president needs a dedicated airplane. So he's the one that started that.
Didn't know that. Yeah. Well, we have a chance to repeat a lot of the things he did. We have a chance to get God back into the culture.
Yes, praise God.
We have a chance to teach these things back in our classroom again. And, you know, we talked a couple days ago about the appetite. There's a lot of people that are ready for that. So I sure appreciate you having me on to talk about
it. Well, it's very important, Rick. We're out of time for today. We'll be back in just a moment. Praise God.
Find something life-giving on KCM.org, your study center for victory. View the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcasts on demand and study along with the daily broadcast notes, or download the audio podcasts to listen on the go. Watch prior KCM events for hours with truth going in your eyes and ears wherever you are. Get real help for real life problems. Follow our guide to believe, speak, pray, learn, and apply your way to results from your couch, desk, or kitchen table. Stay focused on truth by reading the devotional From Faith to Faith every day. Read interactive BVOV magazines and click to unlock more content in each issue. Get a faith boost from testimonies of real life success from people just like you. Find information on what partnership means and take advantage of the resources provided just for you. Read archives of Kenneth Copeland's partner letter and download free books from our bonus library. Over 50 titles available to read on your phone, computer, or e-reader. KCM.org meets you where you are.
Hello, I'm Larry Warren. God's love, mercy, grace, and goodness are all available to you. His plan for your life is good, and it'll give you a future and a hope. Ephesians 2:10 tells us, God sees you as His masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus, doing the good things He's planned for you. Now, the resurrection power of Jesus brings life, restoration, and success to align any situation with the blessing of the Lord. Jesus said in John 10:10, I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. Now, if you're ready to say, yes, I want to qualify for that resurrection power of Jesus in my life, then open your heart to Him and make Him the Lord and Savior of your life. So pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, according to your sure mercies, you decided in advance to have mankind restored back to you. Jesus paid the ultimate price for man's salvation. And today I confess my sins. I receive Jesus as my Lord. And today I receive the forgiveness of sin. I am born again and made new. And I commit to serve you for all my days. Amen. Jesus is your Lord, and you have his resurrection power in you right now for your health, your family, your finances, and your future. To help you learn more about your new life as a child of God, we want to send you some free resources. It's called the Salvation Package, which includes the book He Did It All For You by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, and some information to help you start reading and studying your Bible. Now, as you read your Bible and search the scriptures, you'll find the promises of God that pertain to your situation. So get your free copy of the Salvation Package today on KCM.org. You can also call our prayer line if you need prayer or have questions about the scriptures. Our prayer ministers are licensed and trained in the Word of God to pray in faith with you. Continue to read and listen to God's Word. Let it get down into your heart so you can speak His Word in faith, because faith is your victory that overcomes the world.
Remember Colossians 1:18. For by Him were all things created that in heaven, in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, power, all things were created for Him and by Him. You remember that? God is before all things, and in Him are all things held together. Our nation has a framework designed by God. Learn about it. Now this, the Freedom's Frame, this is a must read. It is a must read. Particularly for young people, old people, middle-aged people, for them particularly. And because I'm an old people. And I learned things in here and got excited about my nation at KCM.org. And I order you to buy it. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you again tomorrow. Until then, this is Kenneth Copeland, Rick Green, and all of the class reminding you that God loves you, and we love you, and Jesus is Lord. Glory to God, He's Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have a gift for you. It is called the Salvation Package. Learn about the new birth and how you can live your new life victoriously in Christ. Receive your free package on kcm.org/salvation. Keep your heart full of God's Word and continue to grow in faith. Every believer has a voice, and it is the voice of victory.